Consider the quarter deck. Ahab swears by the ounce of gold, and the scratch coin shines like a sacrament. Under that scene, Webster rearranges and sentences into law. Hobbes tests them for sovereignty. Fuller sketches the moral faces on either side of zeal, while a woman nobody names trims a lamp at home and asks nobody permission to do so. Such is the counterweight. The ship storms outward. The inland room keeps a small republic intact. Melville lets both stand because he wants to remain indecent. The anatomical chapters, which many flee, are the erotic center. But the book is too tactful to say so. Hunter opens the head with a reputation for calm. Paley watches the hinge. Brown calls the clear fullness a sacrament. Beale verifies method. The oil that results is not only fuel for trade. It is civil heat, intimate light, and the novel knows it. When men squeeze, friendship becomes a body, and bodies discover they were never enemies. That the scene is comic does not make it less sacred. It makes it safer to print. One could be pedantic and ask for chapter and verse. Better to ask for women's hands. They appear when menus arrive, when debts are forgiven, when young men act like fools and are tolerated because next week they must sail. Old men too. They appear when Lay and Hussey build a press out of patience and bar cloth, when Tireman drafts a notice in short lines, so the wind can carry it to poor readers, when Miriam balances accounts so that a widow may buy weight at cost rather than at shame. They are present when a missionary refuses to scold and chooses to listen, when a shopkeeper places the jawbone carving in the window so a girl can learn hardness. Speak of arrows now and do not blush. It is the movement of warmth across a face that has been cold too long. It is the breath from the blowhole touching the cheek of anyone who keeps a lamp by their window. Whiteness behaves like a logic. It is not purity, which withers into boredom, nor annihilation, which is only panic improved. It is a pervasive medium, a field condition under which rooms become legible, ribs remain unbroken, and vows can keep. In the chase it is judgment, unmoved by our lovely words. In town it is civility with a mild temperature. Here is the pleasing paradox. The monster that erases is also the mother of clarity. The book never settles the account because it is more ethical to leave the problem live. Genesis knew this when it placed light in sequence and kept waters stubborn. Job knew this when the behemoth refused audition. Jonah knew this when his direction corrected itself. Psalms knew it every time it found breath at night. Isaiah knew it when he scolded ornament. Let the humor remain, the novel cannot live in a single tone. Rebullis makes body safe for work. Montaigne give permission to be wrong for a while without perishing. Brown shows how ornament can be a courtesy when substance would be raw. Hawthorne lends a shade where conscience can cool. The jokes on deck are valves in the book's heart. When Stubb talks, wrath lowers its shoulders. When a sailor sings, the sea, which famously does not care, pauses for a moment to listen because rhythm is the only human language it halfway respects. Science is not devout, yet it kneels correctly. Darwin goes ashore to watch barnacles argue and comes back to sea with a kind of vocabulary for change. Scoresby builds a theology of ice in the margin of a map. Bennett writes tools into a constitution. Conant formalizes patience into roots. Beale removes a false mystery, leaves a true one standing. These are erotic acts as surely as kisses. Because attention is the body's ongoing pledge to the world. In that sense, every bench is a bed, every dissection a fidelity. Every entry in a ledger a love letter to an exact thing.